Linda Saivongchon was introduced to basketball in elementary school, a sport that was foreign to her parents, who had recently resettled in America as refugees from Laos. At Des Moines Lincoln High School, she would score a staggering 1,630 points, be crowned Miss Iowa Basketball, and was named Gatorade Player of the Year before signing with Drake University. After an amazing college career with the Drake Bulldogs, she would continue pursuing her passion, this time through coaching. Linda recently wrapped up an accomplished coaching tenure with Creighton University and is currently an assistant coach and recruiting coordinator with Indiana University. Identified by the Des Moines Register as one of Iowa's top 50 female basketball players of all time, Linda is a member of the Lincoln High School Basketball Hall of Fame, the Iowa Girls High School Hall of Fame, and of course, the Lao American Sports Hall of Fame.
All right, hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of C4 Podcast. My name is Coach Andetka, C4 Southeast Asian Athlete Achievement Through Adversity, where we tell stories about, where we listen to stories from our guests, and they talk about, you know, their athletics and just growing up and dealing with adversity and overcoming it. Granted, we also have the Lao American Sports Hall of Fame, where we acknowledge a lot of our athletes' achievements. I wanted to do this to take it a step further to find more about what their journey was like, because as myself, I became a professional bodybuilder, but you know, my story wasn't, it was more like a roller coaster, right? It wasn't in a straight up linear and everything was great. There's a lot of obstacles along the way in my stories, and I'm sure there are a lot of obstacles in the way amongst the other athletes that are in the Hall of Fame. So without further ado, let me introduce my co-host, John Messina.
Yeah, we're excited today to have Linda Saivongchon. Linda, you know, when we started this podcast, we started to have people reach out to us recommending that we have you join us.
Oh.
and so we're glad that could be done. So we're very excited to have you on here today with us. You had a amazing, you know, high school, college career. Now you're coaching at the highest levels of the division, NCAA D1, with your new position, especially here in Indiana. So that's really an incredible feat. And thank you for making time. I know how busy D1 coaches are. My daughter went through the recruiting process just this last couple of years. We're dropping her off at college this weekend. And just seeing how much time and effort the coaches have to put into not just coaching, but recruiting, talking to kids every night and all of that stuff. So congratulations on everything that you do. We're going to go ahead and open up the interview now. We really like to start at the beginning, you know. Tell us a little bit about your parents. They're from Laos. Tell us about their journey to the U.S. and your early years in Des Moines, Iowa.
Sure. Well, thanks for having me on. I'm glad this worked out this week. Actually, this week is a recruiting shutdown, so we don't have to do any recruiting this week. So this was actually a perfect time to do it. So my parents are both immigrants from Laos. And now I don't know like the full story. I just kind of know bits and pieces, but they did migrate to the US, to Iowa in 1979. And I have an older brother, his name's Mesa. He's, he was two when they migrated to the US. So my sister, I'm the middle child, and then I have a younger sister. So my sister and I were both born in the United States, but my brother, he was born over in Laos. So they came over in 1979 and in Des Moines, Iowa, born and raised, and that's where they still live today. And that's where they started their new life. And that's kind of how it started. And you know, they both are fluent in Thai and Laos and English. And you know, I speak a little bit of Laos or Laotian, and I can understand it. I just can't read and write, so I can speak a little bit. But that's kind of their journey there to Des Moines. And that's kind of how we got to the United States and grew up in Iowa.
Do you know what region your parents came from? Like northern, southern, Vientiane?
My dad, my mom is from Luang Prabang. Okay. And my dad is from Vientiane, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now, growing up in Des Moines has a lot of Thai dum, correct?
Thai dum, Laos, yes. Yeah. A lot of that, yes.
And how was the interaction between the groups? I'm just curious. Like, I was growing up as a kid, sometimes kids are, kids can sometimes be mean and cruel, or maybe you guys like got along because you guys, shared the same, shared the same look. But how was your experience?
I had a great experience. Where we live on the south side of Des Moines, it's very diverse. And so I was actually lucky because we have a lot of family, like aunts, uncles, cousins, and then to your point, there's a big Asian population in Des Moines, Iowa. Mm-hmm. So, and to go back even further, during that time of when in 1979, when my parents came over to Des Moines, Iowa, the governor at the time, Governor Robert Ray of Iowa, he had a huge part in helping Southeast Asian families migrate to Iowa, to the state of Iowa. So I think that's probably why there's a huge population in Des Moines, because of Governor Robert Ray. And that's why a lot of my, aunts and uncles live in Des Moines. So I was able to grow up with a lot of them. But growing up, the schools that I went to were super diverse. And because there's a huge population of, Asians, Thai Dam, Laotian, in the area, I was able to grow up with a lot of them around me. So, and we had a lot of, growing up, I had friends, a lot of Laotian friends, and like you said, Thai Dam. So for me, my experience was really good. And I was really fortunate to be able to have, people like me to grow up with, but also I grew up in a pretty diverse community.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting.
That's right.
Yeah.
Des Moines is interesting because although the Lao population there is good size compared to places like California, it's not that big, but we have like 4 people in the Hall of Fame from there already.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. Scott Padovan. We were talking about it with Justin Ponksavon, who, won a bronze medal in Tokyo. And he was telling us it must be the corn. So
yeah. Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Did you have to detassel corn in the summer?
No. Didn't do any of that. Nope.
Yeah. Well, Linda, so it sounds like you had a good early childhood. Well, how did you get into basketball? Because it's not a sport your parents probably were all that familiar with.
Nope. So I have to give a little bit of credit to my brother, my older brother. So my brother's 6 years older than me. So when we were younger, I was a little sister that always was around, and he had to take care of me, back then. Like, my parents were like, all right, well, you got your sister, you have to watch your sister when they were working stuff, especially early on when they came to the States. My parents were working all the time. And so my brother had to take care of me. So, I would tag along with him and his friends and his buddies. And I was, a little tomboy, and I didn't really have a choice. So I would hang out with them a lot, and they were, it was easy back then to go play outside on the playground. And there's always basketball hoops out. We had a basketball hoop in our driveway, but we would go across the street to the school and play basketball all the time. So, and in that era of when I started to have interest in basketball, it was during the Michael Jordan era. And so we started watching a lot of NBA and Michael Jordan, the Chicago Bulls, and I hung out with my brother all the time and played with his buddies and played basketball on the playgrounds. And then I just had a knack for the sport. And so in PE, in elementary PE class, or actually in recess, I always migrated to the basketball courts in recess. I didn't go to the soccer, kickball. I didn't go to the jungle gym area, the monkey bars. I went and played. I always went and shot hoops when every chance I got during recess. And then in PE class, our gym teacher, Mr. Hall, I believe his name was, he just noticed like I was pretty good at it. And, obviously I had no idea. I just loved playing. So he says, he's like, you should play organized basketball, team sport. You should join a team. And so, of course, my parents have no clue. And so he spoke to my parents about it, about having me join a team and playing organized basketball. And I was in fourth grade, and they knew somebody at the school who coached, there was a mother that coached a Salvation Army team. And so that's how I got connected. So my PE teacher, Mr. Hall, talked to my parents about joining this league. And so I joined this league and just started playing, and all of a sudden, like, it just kind of took off. And obviously my parents weren't, you know, they were naive. They didn't know what was going on. They were just like, oh, okay, you know. And so they started to learn about it a little bit more. And as I've gotten older, they just, you know, became obviously more familiar with it, and also became huge fans of the game. So I give some credit to my PE teacher, my coaches that coached me in fourth grade, allowing me to play with them. And then also my brother, who just let me tag along, you know, and then Michael Jordan. I'm a huge Michael Jordan fan. So, I mean, it's kind of a little bit of everything, not just one specific thing, but kind of a little bit of everything.
I think it's great that you got all that support. I wish one of my teachers would have said something to my parents, because, you know, the even at that time, it was all about education, right? Yeah. And it's kind of like, what are you trying to do? And I was trying to be a bodybuilder. So they just laughed, you know, because like, I was small, short, skinny, you know, right. Like, and I said, why don't you just stay in school, you know, focus on your school, focus on your school. And I rebelled, right? And the more they told me to focus on school, the more I focused on bodybuilding. So, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Well, you didn't just start playing in a rec league. I mean, you absolutely left your mark on the program at Lincoln Des Moines High School. Tell us about your career there and some of your greatest accomplishments.
Yeah, it's so I once, you know, the high school coach. So I was supposed to go to East High School because I lived kind of like on the border. And back then, like, open enrolling wasn't a big deal, but now they make it more of a bigger deal. But back then it was a lot easier. So the high school coach at Lincoln at the time, Jerry Shartner, he discovered me at a young age. So he started to have me come to their feeder programs and go to basketball camps for Lincoln High School when I was in middle school. So smart on his part. So I ended up, you know, and the Lincoln girls basketball at the time was better than East High School where I was supposed to go. But so anyway, I opened and enrolled to Lincoln High School, and yeah, I mean, it just kind of took off from there. You know, I started actually when I was a freshman. I didn't start because we had a lot of upperclassmen who were pretty good too, and they were upperclassmen. So I was first off the bench, which, you know, I was a freshman, so I was okay with it. And then after that, you know, I started my sophomore, junior, senior year, and we had some really good teams at Lincoln. I mean, there's a huge, you know, girls basketball tradition back then at Lincoln High School. So we had some really good teams, and probably the best year of my career in high school was my senior year. We did just about everything except win state. And that was kind of our goal, was to win state my senior year, because that was the best team probably Lincoln ever had. We were ranked number one in the state for a long time. We were undefeated until we got to the state tournament, and we were like ranked number seven in the country for USA Today. So that was probably our best team my senior year at Lincoln. But yeah, we just couldn't win the state tournament or the state championship. And that's something that I hold on to still to this day, because that was the team to do it that year. So, but no, I had a really good career at Lincoln. But I also had a lot of really good teammates. Like I said, we had some really good teams and good players at Lincoln. So had a good experience.
Well, hopefully their soccer team wins this next year. Our buddy, Joe Sitonarada. Joey's the coach over there for soccer.
I know.
He just started. So, I know. He'll get some revenge for you, maybe.
Yeah.
At least in soccer.
Hopefully.
So, well, that's awesome. So tell us a little bit about, so you decided to stay local and play at your hometown school, Drake. Tell us about the decision to go to Drake, and then, you know, what was it like playing there locally and your career at Drake?
Yeah, I was a homebody. I mean, because I didn't really know anything different, but at the same time, Drake women's basketball was really, really good at that time too. So, and there was a lot of support for women's basketball at Drake. So I knew that coming out of high school, and they were super successful. And I knew that my family coming to watch me and my parents coming to watch me play was super important to me. And just family, because I had a lot of family in Des Moines area. So staying home to play at Drake was the right choice. That was the right choice. My parents came to every game, home game, and they even traveled to away games too. So a lot of my family and friends could come watch me play. So it was a really good decision. And I just think that just having my family and friends be able to watch me play was super important to me.
You mentioned Michael Jordan, right? Which a lot of people, and I'm from Chicago, John's in Chicago, so we all know Michael Jordan. At what time in your career, middle school, high school, like, did you have dreams and aspirations of being a professional, like, superstar? Or was it just at the time you were playing high school sports and just focusing on that?
I don't know. I think when I was in middle school, like when I started playing in fourth grade, I was just like a huge Michael Jordan fan. I just loved it. It was just fun. And I started to realize, like, you know, it just kind of came easy to me. So like, it probably didn't hit me until I started freshman year in high school, where I knew I wanted to play at the next level. Middle school was just like, I was playing, it was fun. You know, we were beating everybody by 30 points. And and then it was just fun. You know, I was just being a kid. And I was like, oh, this is fun. This is what it is. You know, and
it's fun if you're beating everybody 30 points.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. You know, I'm like, oh, I'm kind of good at basketball. You know, our team's good. We beat everybody. Like, it's fun. It was just, you know, I was just being a kid. And then when it started getting more serious was, you know, because I knew that when I started high school basketball, that I was going to start getting recruited to play college basketball. So freshman year in high school is probably when I started to realize, okay, you know, like I want to play college basketball. You know, I want to go get an education, get my school paid for, education paid for. So, and I know that's a big deal. Like you said, Ko, education and academics is important in our family. So that was probably when I was like, okay, you know, I'm going to be playing at the next level. So I better get my stuff together. So it's real now, you know, and when you get into high school, that's when you start getting more recruited by college coaches.
I mean, John and I were just talking about it. We weren't sure, but when did the WNBA come into effect? Were they around at that time?
I was in high school, because I remember, I don't remember exactly when in high school, but I remember going to a WNBA game in Des Moines.
Okay.
It was actually Nikki McCray versus Lisa Leslie, and they played a WNBA game in Des Moines, and I wanted to go to it. So my parents took me to that game. I remember that specifically. So it probably started maybe when I was in, was it in maybe later in middle school leading up to high school? So probably around the early 2000s.
Yeah.
So then my question is, like, you mentioned you want to play next level in college and get an education. Any thoughts in your head about, I want to go to the WNBA one day?
No, not the WNBA. I had, because it was,
or a pro league or any other.
Yeah, yeah. WNBA was really tough to, I mean, it was a really tough league to get into. I mean, it still is nowadays, but back then it was even harder. But I thought about it professionally, but for a second, I had all these weird random injuries in college. and then I just started, I think by my junior year, no, maybe sophomore year in college, I wanted to coach. I think I realized that I probably wanted to coach more. I think I was just ready to do something different. And, and I think I knew I wanted to coach, and it was the closest thing I could do, you know, to playing. and still can be competitive and be, you know, still be passionate about it. So I think I realized maybe sophomore year, after sophomore year, that I wanted to get into coaching.
Okay.
Yeah, that's funny. You know, because Scott Fadewong had something similar, Linda. He initially declined to go pro in football because he wanted to coach. And then, then he said, all right, I'm going to give it a try. Gave it a try for a while, but wanted to go back from coaching and left the pros. Yeah. You know, and at some people, so were you just, when did you really feel and what was it that you think drew you to coaching?
Well, I got my degree at Drake from in education, and in education, you have to pick like a track, you know, you have to pick like certifications or concentrations. So I love math. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna get a math concentration and also coaching concentration. So those were the two endorsements or whatever I chose. And so at some point I was like, okay, I'm going to teach. At one point I was like, okay, I'm going to teach math and coach high school basketball. But then I realized, like, God, I'm just too competitive. Like, I don't think I can just coach high school basketball. You know, I want to coach at the highest level. And so my college coach at the time at Drake, Amy Stevens, who I'm still close to this day, is a big mentor of mine. And I talked to her about like getting into college coaching and getting my foot in the door. And it obviously helped that I played Division I basketball or played college basketball, because it helps you kind of get your foot in the door. It helps that you played basketball at a high level, but she helped me get my resume out, and I was willing to do anything, whether it was go be a GA or, you know, be a director of basketball operations, whatever it took to kind of get my foot in the door for college coaching. Cause it's hard to do. It's hard to get in. But like I said, having been a former college player, I think that helped me kind of get my foot in the door. It gives you a better chance at least. So, and being a, you know, coaching, playing women's basketball, getting into women's basketball, that helped too.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's, you know, that's one of the reasons we wanted to have you on. You know, there aren't as many athletic role models in certain sports like basketball for women, right? Men, you mentioned Michael Jordan was your role model. And, you know, when I was coaching youth soccer, my daughter's team, I took them to a Division I soccer game at a Northern Illinois university, not too far from here. And they were like, I don't know, 8 years old, and they got to be ball girls and out on the field. And I could not believe how much that inspired them, because most had never been to what I would call a higher level women's sporting event. They'd been to the Bulls. They'd been to the Bears. You know, we're here in Chicago, right? But to them, this might as well have been the World Cup. Because they're eight, but just how those other athletes inspired them really to give it all in their sport. You know, so I think people like you are incredible role models, especially in the Lao community, right? So we really honor, you know, admire that about you. Yeah, so tell us a little bit about your early coaching experience. I know you kind of moved for a few schools.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's I've been fortunate because I'm a Midwest girl at heart. So I was able to stay in the Midwest and regionally, but in this profession, you just have, you know, sometimes you can't choose where your job is, but I was also super selective in my journey. So, you know, I had a opportunity to go be a GA at Minnesota Duluth, which is a Division II school, but I knew the head coach up there because I sent my resume out. Like, I mean, when I was getting ready to be done student teaching at Drake, I was like, what the hell am I going to do with my life? Like, I gotta get these resumes out. I gotta contact coaches. So like, I sent so many resumes out for GA positions, emailed college coaches, and that's what you gotta do. You know, just reach out to so many people, and like, I was getting nothing. Okay. So I'm like, okay, what am I going to do? So finally, a coach I was familiar with just got the head coaching job at Minnesota Duluth, which is a D2 school, like I said. So I went up there, and that was my first time moving away from home. So it was something different, you know, because I've always been home, played at Drake in my hometown. So I think that was a really good experience for me. I thought it was super valuable going up there for 2 years, because I got to do everything. Because at the D2 level, you don't have three assistant coaches, you know, like at a Division I school. So they only had one full-time assistant, a head coach, and then they had a GA spot. So I got to do everything the full-time assistant coach was doing. And then, so I was exposed to a lot. I did recruiting, I did scouting reports. I did academic meetings. I did on-court stuff. So I was able to do a lot of that in my 2 years there. And then after 2 years as a GA, now you're looking for a full-time job. So repeat, I was doing the same thing as far as getting my resume out and reaching out to college coaches. And all of a sudden, my alma mater had a position open, and the head coach that I played for at Drake had a position open, and she knew she wanted to hire me. You know, head coaches like to hire former players. And so I was fortunate. That like came out of the blue. And so I was able to return back to my hometown and my alma mater to coach at Drake for 3 years. So that was awesome. And then I went to North Dakota for 1 year, and then St. Louis University for two, losing track for 2 years, and then Creighton for seven, the most recent, you know, school was at Creighton for 7 years. And then now I'm at Indiana University. So I've been here for, you know, a little over 2 months. So I just kind of stayed regionally, like I said. And, you know, my goal is as a coach, you know, I didn't, and just so you guys know, like every school that I've been at, I have never like looked for the next school. Every school I've been at, I would like to think that I left it, you know, in a better place than it was. Every school that I've been at, I've never looked for the next job. You know, I'm committed to the school that I've been at, and every place that I've been has, I've learned something from everywhere that I've been, even if it was, you know, at North Dakota for 1 year. So and I think all those experiences help mold me into, you know, the coach that I am today, because you can gain things, whether it's good or bad, from all those places that, you know, I've been. So
well, I'd say you and your former teammates at Creighton really did a phenomenal job taking that program. Unbelievable run in this last NC2AA tournament. But before we get into that, you know, one thing about Creighton also is they're kind of a rival school to Drake. What was it like to have to go back to your hometown on your old home court and you know, try to beat them?
Yeah.
And
yeah. So it's funny because actually when I was trying to choose a college, it actually came down to Drake and Creighton. So that's because Creighton recruited me. So it was close enough to home, and it actually came down. And there's been a couple Lincoln point guards before me that went to Creighton and played and had great careers. So there was a familiarity there. So that's funny. But yeah, and Drake and Creighton were in the Missouri Valley together for a long time. And then Creighton obviously left the Missouri Valley to go to the Big East. So it was still a rival, but not really, but it was tough early when I went to Creighton, and we had to go play, you know, cause we played when I was at Creighton, we played Drake every year in the non-conference. So it was tough the first couple years, but then I started getting used to it. It's just another game. So the first couple of years it was tough going back. Creighton was really good to me. 7 years and only 2 hours from home, where my parents and family could come over and watch games, and it was easy for me to get back to Des Moines and visit. This past year with, you know, my last year at Creighton was phenomenal. I mean, it was unreal. It was just a really special team. And I loved those girls, loved the staff that I worked with. So it was super hard to leave Creighton, but at least I was leaving on a high note, you know? But it was fun. It was fun. It was fun working there. The girls were awesome. My boss, Flan, he was an awesome boss. And, you know, we just wanted to recruit good players who were good people and wanted to win. And they were super unselfish. And I think when people watched Creighton play last year, that's what the number one thing that they talked about is how unselfish the team was, how much joy they had when they played with each other. And those are all important things, you know, that make a successful team. And those are all the things that happened last year. So yeah, it was a fun ride. I mean, awesome. But I'm excited to be here at Indiana and kind of, you know, trying to help Indiana be great, because Indiana's done a really good job here too. So,
yeah. Well, that's certainly exciting. Yeah, that tournament was exciting. What was it? You know, you guys were on national TV, working through that bracket. Yeah. Tell us just what was the emotion like for you, you know, taking them that far?
Yeah, well, when we NCAA selection show is always, you know, it's a little nerve wracking at times, but it wasn't as much last year when I was at Creighton, because we knew we were going to get in the tournament. But we just didn't know what seed we were, because we were kind of floating on that 8-9 line for the bracketology. And we kind of wanted to get off the 8-9 line because we didn't want to have to play the number one seed, you know. So we dropped to a 10 seed, which was great. And then when we found out our first opponent, you know, we were like, okay, we feel pretty confident that we can win this game. And then when we found out we were in the Iowa region, we were super familiar with Iowa. So we were like, gosh, our path, like, you guys, our kids, I think our kids were confident. I mean, they saw that bracket, they were confident. I mean, they knew what we could do. And then after selection Sunday, when we found out our opponent, I mean, we got to work. Like, the coaches were getting film on Colorado, and we were like getting to work. And then the players the next day were focused, you know, they were ready to play Colorado and beat Colorado and move on. But, and then we made, you know, we did something that was probably no one thought we could do, was beat Iowa on their home floor, playing against one of the best players in the country in Caitlin Clark. And that was crazy. I mean, it was so loud in there, and our kids were just so focused and confident, poised. I mean, that's the tough environment to play in, to go to the Sweet 16, something that Crane's never done before. And I just remember Lauren Jensen hitting that shot. You know, she's the Iowa transfer. Yep. And I think I blacked out, to be honest. She made that three, and I was like, what just happened? And so there was still time on the clock. Okay, so there was still time on the clock. Iowa calls a timeout, and we're like, all right, we're, you know, we can't. And I just remember Sonano, their post player. I mean, she's has shot that hook shot a million times. And when she's turned and shot that hook shot and it hung on the rim and she missed it, then I was like, I think that's when I actually blacked out, was when that happened, because I'm like, oh my God, what just happened? We're going to the Sweet 16. Like, what? And we just beat Iowa on their home floor in front of like a sold out crowd. So that was crazy. I mean, there was a lot of tears, because there was just so many, you know, a lot of emotions as far as the environment we were in, you know, what we're going up against. And then also just for the something the program has never done, was going to Sweet 16. So that was probably more exciting than going to Elite Eight, because of just the environment, you know, everything that I just mentioned. Elite Eight obviously is awesome too, but like beating Iowa on their home floor, like to go to Sweet 16, that was just a whole bunch of emotions. So it was great.
I don't want to put words in Lauren Jensen's mouth, but for her to have transferred to Creighton and then go back and beat them, I mean, must have just been very emotional.
Yeah.
And
she's such a good kid. Like, because we recruited Lauren out of high school pretty hard. Like, Creighton was in her top three schools. So that's how we probably got her back, because we were in her top three and she was familiar with Creighton. But she's just a great kid. Like, she didn't say any, you know, she didn't have one thing but bad thing to say about Iowa. She's just, we couldn't have been happier for her. And it's just insane how that all happened. I think I watched that shot a million times. I mean, how can you not? Like, it was crazy. Like, I probably watched it a million times.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Yeah. Well, so, you know, you move now into the, you know, the Power Five conferences, as they call them.
Yeah.
Big Ten, right? One of the top in the whole nation. So
it is, yeah.
What's up next for you there? What's your focus there?
I'm going to, you know, be helping with defense and offense. You know, I'm the recruiting coordinator here, but none of that. I mean, it's very collaborative here. I mean, I'm really close with Glenn Box. He's actually one of the guy that kind of steered me here. He's on staff here, but we worked together for a year at St. Louis University, 7 years. Well, it would have been 8 years ago. So that's how we know each other. But I've always watched, you know, I've always watched Big Ten basketball, and I've always followed. I'm a hoops junkie, so I always watch basketball when it's on. And Big Ten Network, you know, with Big Ten Network, it's easily accessible. So I've followed Indiana from afar and just supporting my friend Glenn. And I've always admired how Terry coaches, our head coach here, and how she does things and how hard her team plays. And it's crazy because it's almost like a mirror image of Creighton and how we did things when I was at Creighton. And I wasn't going to leave Creighton just for any job, you know, because I had it so good there and we were good. And, you know, I got to do a lot there as a coach. And again, like Indiana is a special place too, because of the way they do things, how they coach, the way they recruit. And most importantly, they're really good people here. And so, I think a lot of people, for me, the people make a place, and the people here I knew were great people. So, and their success here, and what they've done in the last several years is a byproduct of, like, you know, how they do things here within their program. So I wanted to be a part of it, and I wanted to help them still continue to be, you know, a top 10 program. So, yeah.
Incredible. Well, tell us a little bit. I know basketball is your life, but what do you like to do outside of basketball, Linda?
That's a very good question. I like to do out, you know, any sport. Like, I love sports. So, you know, I'll golf. I'm not a golfer, but I'll play golf because I enjoy it when I have time. I started playing tennis. I like any sports. I have a road bike. You know, we ride our bikes. My boyfriend and I, we like to ride our bikes. My parents love to ride their bikes too. Any sport or activity outdoors. I love music. I have like an array of music of every genre. I love going to concerts. And then, you know, watch Netflix shows, binge watch shows. and spend time with family and friends. Like, our family's super tight. And so my parents are actually coming to visit. My brother and my parents are actually coming to visit this Thursday. So literally just moved in like last week, and they already want to, you know, come and visit. So that's okay, but we're super tight with my family.
That's great. Well, you know, you're a big, I think, inspiration to a lot of younger people out there, Linda. So what advice do you have to the younger generation, whether they want to be a Division I athlete or pursue some other dream, right? What's your advice to them to get, you know, making that come true?
I think just from my experiences is you just gotta work hard. I think whatever you put your mind to, what you want to do, if you do the work and you surround yourself with great people who can get you there, I think having a circle that of people that are going to help you along the way too and are going to be supportive, I think that the support system is important too. But the hard work, I mean, it just comes down to that. And to this day, I still believe, like, for me to get to where I am now, I mean, I had to do the work. I had to work hard since fourth grade when I realized that, you know, basketball, I was good at basketball. So from that day, like, I was like, I got to work hard if I want to get to, you know, play Division I basketball, to coach at this level. I just think it comes down to that. You can probably attest to that, Co.
Well, yeah, you definitely got to surround yourself with the right people, the correct sports system. That's huge. You know, for people to push you and believe in you, because the hard work sometimes gets draining. And some days you want to take a day off, but it's the encouragement of whether your teammates or coaches or someone like a mentor that can say, hey, you know, just – get your butt to the gym and do your, you know, do what you're supposed to do.
Exactly.
Well, that's great. Well, Linda, yeah, we appreciate all of this, everything you've had to offer the audience here. Co, anything else for Linda?
You know, I'm curious, like, Do you find it hard playing basketball? I'm assuming there were other, like, in high school and college, taller girls, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, do you find that that was something you had to, like, overcome, like deal with? Like, was that something that you easily broke that barrier, or how did you approach that?
No, because I'm actually tall for a Laotian female, or an average American
female. I didn't want to ask.
I'm 5'9".
Okay.
Yeah. An average American female is like 5'6", but like an average Laotian female is like five feet.
My wife's about 5'1", so.
So I'm actually, and that's the other thing is like, I was taller for a female, but also for like a Laotian female.
Laotian.
So when I started playing basketball, like I was one of the taller ones. And so that was never an issue to me. And then by the time I got to college, and I'm like, you know, I'm a strong 5'9" female too. So like when I got to the next level, it wasn't an issue for me. My mom's tall for a female. And when she's with her friends, she's like towering over them, and she's only 5'5". She's 5'5" and she's towering over her female friends. So like, imagine me with, you know, next to like my friends and her friends. So yeah, I'm tall for a Laotian female. So yeah, that was never an issue for me.
John,
it's weird.
John, it's gotta be the corn, because here in Illinois, I have not seen, I grown up in Chicago most of my life, I have not seen a Laotian female that's 5'9".
I know. It's weird.
On average, like, right, 5 feet to five.
Both of my parents, I think, but my dad claims he's shrunk, but as he's gotten older, but they both are like 5'5"-ish. And it's crazy. I don't understand. Like, when people see me, they don't think I'm Laotian. Like, when they see me, like, I don't, you know, they think I'm something else. So, no, the height thing, it's just beyond me. I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
We have some tall people on our Laotian side of our family too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is there a 5'9" female?
No, there's some men that are over that, but no women.
Yeah.
And yeah, my wife's cousin Jeff was an absolute phenomenal basketball player, played in college, but just too short for the D1 level, right?
Yeah.
Especially for men. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Well, awesome. Well, great, Linda. Well, this was awesome. Before we wrap up, anything else, Cope? If not, we'll wrap it up.
No, just if you guys haven't already, if you enjoy the podcast, give us a like, follow, and share on our Facebook page, C4, Loud American Sports Hall of Fame on Facebook, and then our IG is Loud American Sports. So give us a follow and a like and share.
So thanks for coming on, Linda.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you, Linda.
Okay,
have a great
thanks.
One.
C4 Podcast is brought to you by the Lao American Sports Hall of Fame. Visit us on the web at laoamericansports.com, celebrating the first, inspiring the next.